our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of John? John chapter 1. And we will begin our reading with verse 6. John 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, and we will begin our reading with verse 25, John 6, 25. The Lord Jesus had just previously fed the multitude with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it says in verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. And then in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, and reading from verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye. Except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I am the true bread. I am the true vine. There are many false lights in the world. There are many things which are untrue. And one of the great problems in life is dividing between the true and the false. In fact, our entire life is really a true-false examination. But praise God, we have the clue to that which is everlastingly true. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the true bread. He's the one who could say, I am the bread of God, the bread which God sent down from heaven. He which eateth of me shall never hunger and never thirst. I am the true vine. Apart from me, there is no fruit whatever for God. What is fruit? That's the question that Pilate asked the Lord Jesus. What is fruit? And as he spoke those words, standing in front of him was the one who said, I am the fruit. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The truth is not something that is loved, for the Lord Jesus was hated, even though he was the truth of God manifest in flesh. And the truth of God was taken outside of Jerusalem's walls and crucified. You remember the scripture says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Man hates the light because it reveals him as he is. The scripture says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember that scene in Luke chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth, he got up and he began to read from the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. And the scripture says, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. When he said to them this, I tell you of a truth. There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet. But he was sent to none of them, but he was sent to Zarephath, to that widow outside of Israel. And she came into the blessing. And he said there were many lepers in the days of Naaman the prophet in Israel. But Elisha wasn't sent to them. Provision was made to meet the need of Naaman. And it says when he spoke those words, they were so angry with him, they sought to take his life. But Jesus left them and went his way. Men love to hear gracious words, but the truth, to tell it as it is, that's something that people don't love to hear. Man walks about in a vain show. We love to pretend that we're better than we are. We love to think of ourselves more highly, the scripture says, than we ought to think. I heard a story one time of a man who went into a photographer to have his picture taken. And when he came back, he looked at the picture he refused to pay for. He says, it doesn't do me justice. I'm not going to pay for that. It doesn't look anything like me. So the photographer put it in the window. And he said, this is a picture of the biggest crook in town. half hour back, he was back and paid for it. The trouble was he needed mercy and not justice. And that's what we all need. If we could see ourselves as God sees them, God looked down from heaven. The scripture says, to see if there were any that did understand, that did not any that did seek after God. They're all gone out of the way. Not so much as one. They're all filthy. Oh, with some power, wrote Robert Burns, the power, the gift he gave us to see ourselves as others see us. But to see ourselves as God sees us. How vital that is. That's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals us as we are in God's eyes. We sing in one of our hymns concerning his work on the cross. In his spotless soul's distress, I have learned my guiltiness. Oh, how vile my low estate, since my ransom was so great. True. We read in Romans chapter 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, because God is not going to measure us by one another. He's not going to compare you with me or me with somebody else. His yardstick is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. It's seen in his person. That's the measure. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. We are sure, says the apostle, that the judgment of God is according to truth. And that's the only judgment that will be according to truth. You're never quite sure when you go into an earthly court if you're going to get justice or not, if it's going to be the truth. They select 12 men and they sort of flip a coin as to whether you're guilty or not. They listen to the evidence. And to the best of their ability, they decide whether you're guilty or not. But you're never quite sure. Not so many months ago, you remember they had Judge Thomas and Claire and Anita Hill, and about 50% of the people felt he was guilty, and about 50% felt she was guilty. But who knows for sure? Nobody knows except God. For sure. Very difficult to get at the truth. But you know, the judgment of God is according to the truth. He has a perfect record of our lives. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light, says the scripture. And in the light of his presence, all that is off will be seen clearly. He's the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every bit of light that any man has, true light, has come to us from him. Men like to boast of their intelligence and their intellect, but whatever intellect you have, it has come to you from God. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The apostle says, what have you got that you have not received? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you had not received? The light that we possess, whatever light it is, has come to us from God. We have light from the cross. We have light from the creation. But that light has come from him, because he created all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the scripture says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world by his creation. God is going to hold all men responsible for the measure of light they've received, whether it's light from the cross, or whether it's light from the church, because it says by the church is being made known the manifold wisdom of God. Whatever light that has come to men, it has come to us from him. He is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And our Lord Jesus not only said that, he said, I am the true bread. They reminded the Lord Jesus, you remember here in this passage, they said, you know, Israel in the wilderness, Moses, he was leading the people through the wilderness, and God sent this manna every day. And all during those years, they were kept alive by that manna that came from heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, that's not the true bread. What happened to all those people in the wilderness? Any of them around anymore? No, they all died. In fact, someone figured out that every day that the children of Israel were in the wilderness, somewhere between 80 and 90 people had to die every day. They had all these funerals every day, between 80 and 90, were being buried every day, all during that wilderness journey. And they were constantly reminded of the fact that that bread was not the true bread. For the Lord said, the bread that I will give a man will live forever. You know, there were a couple of philosophies in the Apostle Paul's day back in Athens, and as Scripture mentions them in Acts 17. There were the Epicureans and there were the Stoics. Well, the Epicureans and the Stoics, they haven't gone out of style. We've still got them today. The Epicureans' idea was, let's eat, let's live it up. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That was their idea. And the Stoics' idea was the joggers, you know. They're going to exercise every day and do all of their bits and keep in shape. The trouble with that is that both of them die, ultimately. You can have the best steak that's available, and you can eat it and say, man, this is good. This is the life. But there comes a day when you eat your last bit of food. That's not the real bread. What good is bread that only keeps you alive for 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years? That's not the true bread. That's not the bread that man needs to meet his real needs. New food does any good, whatever, for anyone, just looking at it. Have you ever been, some people that, I don't want anything. The next meal, I don't want anything. And I don't want anything. Some people come to the stage where they don't want to eat anything. Well, you know what happens, ultimately. You can only do that for so long. And then you up and die. You have to eat to live. And spiritually, that's true as well. They said to the Lord, he's the true bread from heaven. He came down from heaven, he said, to give life to the world. He said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We want that bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He who eateth of me shall never hunger and never thirst. He's the one that is the bread that satisfies eternally. I am the true bread. I told a story the other night, and I'll tell it again because it illustrates the point real well. Years ago, my father was out in a prison in the state of Wisconsin. And had been preaching the gospel, and after they had preached for about a half hour or so, he went around distributing gospel tracts. And he came to one fellow, and he said, I don't want that. I'm no goat. I don't eat paper. I didn't ask you to eat it. I asked you to read it. He said, I don't want it. He says, the slop they give you in this jail in Wisconsin isn't fit for a pig to eat. Well, he says, don't eat it then. He says, I don't know any law in the books of Wisconsin that says you have to eat. Says, yeah, but if I don't eat, I'll die. He says, yes, and if you do eat, you'll die. But this little paper tells you how you can eat a bread and you'll live forever. I am the bread of life. He which eateth of me shall never hunger and shall never thirst. The bread which I will give, said the Lord Jesus, is my flesh which I will give for the life of the world. He said, it's through my death. That's the way it is, you know. It's through death that we live. Let me tell another story about my dad. He was out west years ago, Midwest. And they wanted to rent a certain church that was vacant for meetings. The preacher said to my father, he was one of these modernistic preachers, he said, what do you believe? And he told him what he believed concerning the gospel. Oh, he said, that butcher's doctrine. That butcher's doctrine. The idea that through the death of another, you're going to be saved, you're going to have life. He says, that's nonsense. That's butcher's doctrine. My father asked him, he said, what did you have for dinner today? I forget whether it was chicken or steak or whatever it was. And he said, what kind of a belt do you have on there? He said, a leather belt. Oh, he said, I see. He said, it's okay for you to have butcher's doctrine for your body, but you don't believe in butcher's doctrine for the soul. It's through his death. The bread is my flesh. That's what he said. Which I will give for the life of the world. That's the marvelous story of the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That's a fact, whether you believe it or not. You could have been standing by the cross and saw the Lord Jesus nailed hand and foot, and you would have never guessed what took place there. But he bore our sins, his own body on the tree. He died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. Well, who will eat of this bread? Bread is no good unless you eat it. The Lord said in this connection that my words are spirit and they are life. Not that we are to eat on him physically. He said, except shall eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Did he mean that literally or figuratively? He clearly meant it figuratively because he said so. My words are spirit and they are life. Just as we chew food physically, spiritually, by an act of faith, we receive the Lord Jesus and we have life. For he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's to as many as receive him, to those he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. But who are those that believe? Who will eat? Well, he says, the Lord Jesus said, and it's a wonderful verse to me, all that the Father giveth me will come to me. Do you know that there's not going to be one person missing in that group? All that the Father giveth me will come to me. God divinely sovereign has declared that all that he has given to the Son, he's going to get. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. And let me say this, God is no Indian giver. What he gives to his Son, he is not going to take back. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. That's the divine side of things. And the last phrase of that verse says, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you're not among the elect, it's because you've never come. The Lord Jesus guarantees that if you come, he'll receive you. Thousands have fled to his spear-pierced side. Welcome they all have been. None are denied. Weary and laden, they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior they rest. Now in the glory. He waits to impart peace to the conscience and joy to the heart. Waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all of their sin and their wretchedness. The Lord Jesus went on to say, this is the Father's will. Of all which you've given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. But he didn't stop there. Next he said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that believeth the Son, trusts him, I will give him everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, what he's saying is, those that have been divinely, sovereignly among the elect are the same ones that have come. And if you want to be sure tonight that you're among the elect, it's a very easy thing to do. Just come. Just as you are. Without one plea. But that his blood was shed for you, and that he bids you come to him, and you'll receive him that cometh to me. I will in no wise cast out. The scripture says from that time forth, many of them began to forsake the Lord. They turned from him, and he turned to his disciples, and he said, will ye also go away? And I love this response of Peter. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the way you receive life, and that's the way you're sure of it. We believe and are sure. But did you notice this? That the minute he said it, the Lord corrected him. Because he said something that was not true. Lord said in the next verse, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He knew that Judas was not among his own. A good friend of mine, and he's been here, I know, Brother Eddie Schwartz, told me this story. He worked before he was saved at an engraving plant in Richmond, Virginia. And, he had a nice fellowship with a black brother. He was a Baptist. He had a wonderful fellowship with this man, and the day came when Eddie was leaving, and he said to this brother, said, well, Brother Brown, that was his name. He's a black man, but his name was Brown. He said, Brother Brown, he said, if we never meet again here in this life, he said, we'll meet up there. Brother Brown said, I hope so. And Eddie said, I put down my satchel. I said, what did you say, brother? He said, I hope so. He said, brother, I thought you believed that if you trusted Christ, you had eternal life and you would never perish. Well, he said, I'm sure about me, but I'm not so sure about you. Peter said, we believe and are sure. No one can say that. But everyone here can say, like Paul, I know who I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Against that day. I am the true vine, said the Lord Jesus. There's no fruit for God apart from him. He says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. What is the fruit? The fruit of the vine is Christ reproduced in us. And any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he has none of his. And we're told what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, not are. It's just one thing, because God is love, and therefore the nature that he produces is a nature of love. And the Lord Jesus' prayer is answered in the case of each and every believer. He prayed, you remember, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Think of it. Not only does God love us, but he fills us with his Spirit so that through his Spirit we love as he loves. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But in one word, it's just love, because long-suffering, that's love, isn't it? Love suffers long and is kind. Faith worketh by love, that's love too. Just a different characteristic of it. He produces his life in us. The Lord said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, my Father is the husbandman. He's the one that prunes as necessary those that are in the vine, the branches. Whom the Father loves, he chastens, says the scripture. And he scourges every Son whom we received. Why does he do this? It says that we might be partakers of his holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. And God's purpose is to conform us more and more and more to the person of his Son. I was out in California last October, and a brother there took me to the Napa Valley where the great vineyards are out in California. And we were there right after they had harvested their crop or whatever they do. And boy, there wasn't anything much left. I said, are they going to make anything out of these stubs? But you know, they cut the branches way back. But they know just how to do it in order to produce the most fruit. We were singing, he's still working on me. I'm not what I want to be, said John Newton. I'm not what I once was, praise God. But he's still working on me. We're told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The secret of fruitfulness we're given is abiding in the vine. If ye abide in me, I abide in you, you bring forth fruit. And it speaks about fruit and more fruit and much fruit. He's looking for fruit. And that fruit is Christ reproduced in us. We think sometimes God in heaven hath a treasure, riches none may count or tell, hath a deep eternal pleasure, Christ the Son. He loveth well. God hath here on earth a treasure. None but he and Christ may know. Deep, unfathomable pleasure. Christ revealed in saints below. Oh, to be but emptier, lowlier, mean, unnoticed, and unknown. And to God a vessel holier, filled with Christ and Christ alone. Not of earth the cloud of glory, not of self the light of death, telling forth the wondrous story. Emptied to be filled with him. Praise God, in a world of uncertainty, in a world of darkness, the true light is shining. I am the light of the world, said the Lord Jesus. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's the true bread. And as we go through the wilderness journey, we look around and this world has nothing to meet the need. When we look up, and our bread is in heaven, we say nothing but Christ is on we tread. The gift on Christ, God's living bread. Nothing save him in all our ways, giving the theme for ceaseless praise, our whole resource along the road. Nothing but Christ, the Christ of God. He's the bread of God. He's the true bread. Those that eat of him live forever. And he's the true vine. Nothing can be produced for God apart from him. Apart from me. Nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall bring forth much fruit. Shall we pray? Our Father, we stand amazed. These three statements concerning our Lord Jesus. He's the true light. We thank you that a dark,